Jasmine Flower. Emerquid knows it's one of my favourite pieces of music. I love that piece of music. I thought I better play it since she's in the room. Emma, good morning.
Good morning, Marty.
And welcome.
And good morning to John Sheehan, who's playing beautifully on that.
Yes.
Sending love, John.
He is a gorgeous player, and with the OT Concert Orchestra.
And it's his tune. John wrote that.
It's a beautiful version. Dear heart, Brendan Graham is with me as well. How are you?
I'm very well, Marty. Thank you.
Nice to have you with us this morning. It's a big Eurovision day that we have for later on at the concert hall, and some tickets have been sold, and people are excited by all accounts. We're getting all sorts of messages coming through, which is great. Isn't it marvellous that people have such affection for this event when you think about it? Like, you two are so clearly involved and so clearly successful as part and parcel of the Irish Eurovision story, but the fact that people are so excited about tonight, I think, is quite wonderful.
Well, it's a national pride thing, isn't it, to win something, you know, if your country goes out, you know, and whether it's football or song, you know, you want your people to do well. So I think there's an element of that. And also, I suppose, there's the historical thing. We haven't done it since Miss Quinn got out there.
That's right.
So I suppose there's a nostalgic sort of clutch to the whole thing as well. And then some of the songs are not too bad.
But there's a great love for it. And I think that's what it is. And you know, you were when we're in touch over the long distances, people love your voice, but they love the voice. They love that memory of that.
They do.
But they also take on board your new material as well, which you and Brendan, of course, have collaborated on quite a lot, which is wonderful too.
Yeah, it is wonderful. And you know, the thing is that you get to bring your music to a wider audience with an introduction of something like Eurovision.
That's right.
Not only at home, but you know, across Europe, for sure. It's a wonderful way to spread your music even further. It's an incredible platform, I think, is what I want to say.
But I find fascinating about you two is the fact that you have collaborated so often, that the link started with the song and then it's continued.
Yeah.
Which is quite something. So there's obviously a great respect and an easy way of working together too. Yeah.
Actually, I hope you let us out quickly this morning now, Marty, because we've to go and finish another song. We actually have a song nearly finished.
The two of you.
So we don't want you to delay us.
No, I wouldn't like to. I would like to hold back the process, which would be awful. What is it like? Because obviously we don't have it. What sort of a song is it at all?
I don't think we'll tell him.
Well, it's lovely talking to you.
I think it's going to be very nice, but it's going to be very, important to me and of consequence early in the new year with the new public holiday that'll be coming up.
She's very good at saying nothing.
Yeah, but I'm still trying to read something into it, in fairness. I see.
You'll be the first to know, Marty.
Yeah, I will.
That's a promise.
It's true. You always get the exclusive.
No, I do, in fairness.
But talking about going back, this is the first time we've actually been interviewed together.
That's gas.
Down through all the years, apart from at Eurovision time.
Which is when the madness kicks in and you're being asked all sorts of questions about this, that, and the other, and you kind of think, we're after winning.
It's very surreal.
For those who may be listening with respect and thinking about being a part of the Eurovision for 2023, what does it feel like to win when you're standing there as a singer? What does it feel like to win?
It's out of body, really. Honestly, it is. Well, certainly it was for me. It's totally surreal. You're walking through the motion. In fact, somebody said to me a couple of years ago, they said to me, I loved that. I saw you on YouTube singing Norwegian Wood with Morten Harket. And I said, I never sang Norwegian Wood with Morten Harket. And they said, yes, you did. You're on YouTube singing Norwegian Wood with Morten Harket. And I said, really? So I had to search it up. And apparently in the green room, he came around and he was chatting to us. And I sang Norwegian Wood with Morten Harket. I had no memory of it.
That is so funny, isn't it?
Yeah, no memory of it whatsoever.
I had left my body. Yes, you had.
I'd left my body.
Because the day is so, or the night rather, is so special.
And we were running away with the votes then at that stage, weren't we, Brendan?
That's right.
We started to...
Yeah, yeah. did. Yeah.
So it was a kind of a done deal at that stage, and we were clinking glasses, and it was like, and then I was apparently singing and Morten Harkett. Like, I mean, if I forgot singing Norwegian Wood with Morten Harkett, things were rather extreme.
That's right. He was relatively handsome, I would suspect.
Yeah, yes.
And still is. I've seen a picture recently. He still is. And AHA are still going.
And I had an AHA teen crush, you know.
So on every level, it was success for you.
Yeah.
That's and from the point of view, Brendan, of you, and being a serial winner, but the first time obviously is phenomenal, but when it happens more than once.
Yeah, well, first of all, The Voice was never intended to be a Eurovision song. But when it was done, I thought, well, it's so different from Rock and Roll Kids. Wouldn't it be fun to enter it? And I heard Emer singing in Christchurch Cathedral, didn't know her from Adam. I just heard this voice coming down through the church. And I went up afterwards. She was picking up music. And I said who I was. And would you be interested in singing a song for the National Song Contest? So that was how it started. And then, we had a phenomenal arrangement from your guest of yesterday morning, Mr. Bill Whelan.
Yes.
And we got together this sort of band of traditional musicians. So it had a whole different aspect to it. And then Emer just sang beautifully. And during the voting, I wasn't actually surprised that we had won. You know, there was just a sense, and I remember a few times leaning over to Emer and saying, we're going to get a 12 from this country. I don't know, there was some sort of strange energy going on, but of course the moment then, you're just rushed out, all of that is gone, there's people rushing you to stage, and there's an enormity to it, because before that, you're hoping you'll do well, but when you actually do well, you're not prepared for it at all. And there is an enormity to it, and a sort of a bonding, because you've been through something with somebody that maybe only 50 other people have been through.
That's true.
And that's
true.
Your vision.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
So
that's all you are. That's all you are.
Thing.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear, because with Johnny Logan being a writer and a singer of, having two winners, and you being in that similar situation, it is hard for anyone outside the box, if you will. And also, the fact that you mentioned Bill Whelan. Bill Whelan goes back to the Swarbricks, for heaven's sake. It's nice to be in love again. He arranged. Now, that's... God forgive us, we were all very small people.
I wrote my very first song that got recorded with Tommy and Jimmy Swarbrick. It got recorded, I think, 50... Johnny McAvoy, on a wonderful album called With an Eye to Your Ear, which had all these Beatlesque arrangements.
Yeah.
And there was this song, Father Dickens, in the middle of 59 Bridge Street song, Leonard Cohen and so on. I couldn't believe it. And that was with Tommy and Jimmy Swarbrick.
Good Lord. And When by Red Hurley?
When was 1976, That was a poor song.
It's a gorgeous song,
though. No, it didn't have a hook.
I liked it.
I didn't know about hooks.
I liked it.
Red made more out of it.
Did you found a few hooks since? I'm going to play The Voice. I just don't... there's no point in discussing anymore about this for a second.
I am the voice in the wind and the pouring rain. I am the voice.
Now, that'll be the voice, obviously, which sounds as fresh as ever, interestingly, doesn't
it? I'm still only 23 in that recording.
Oh, stop it. I've heard you saying, away without you, away without you. Listen, we've been playing you, and right through, as you know, COVID, The Watchman, and the impact it had. So, like, your voice is as fabulous as ever, you know. You're still away?
I'm still away, but no, not all the time. I'm here right now.
Well, I know you are. But you are away and back. That's the way it works.
I am. I'm away and back. That's the way I am for the next little bit.
Now, a couple of points to make. Firstly, you have some concerts coming up to mention. Will I mention them? Are you aware of your dates?
I have a couple of ones at Christmas time. So every year I'm in the Pavilion in Dunleary and the Solstice in Navan. And it's wonderful because I've become part of people's Christmas routine, which is amazing. Yeah. And so we all get together and have a wonderful Christmas time. So that's Dunleary is December 17th and the Solstice in Navan is December 21st on the Solstice. I'm very delighted about. And then after Christmas, I'll be back in St. Patrick's Cathedral with my merry crew, the quartet and Robbie on guitar for the Temple Bar Tradfest.
Yeah.
So that's on the 26th of January.
Which is great. So all that's to come. Will you be, and musically, clearly Christmas. Is it all Christmas? Is it all, will you be sneaking in a few new songs?
Oh, sneak in a few.
That's what I like to hear. Mm-hmm. Now, as always, Brendan, there's nothing going on at all, the usual, you know. You have an album coming as well, haven't you?
I have an album coming with the Dublin Brass Ensemble. We've been recording that during this year, and hopefully that'll all be released before the end of the year. In November, I think, is when it's coming. I don't have the actual release date, but you'll be the first to know when I have the release date. Yeah.
So. Tell me about, Brendan, well, tell me about this work with Emer and Gavin Ring, who was with us recently. Retiring Gavin.
I've never met him. I've just
go
heard
off.
His voice.
No. Have you not?
No.
Oh, he's a gorgeous man. Yeah. He's a gorgeous man.
I'm
very busy. What was he telling us he was doing? Oh, he's touring La Traviata across the UK at the moment. Like, hello.
The Dublin Brass Ensemble a couple of years ago rearranged The Voice and Cruach an na Báiste for brass. And I must say, at the time, I was a bit tentative about hearing it, and Emer was singing it. But they brought a whole new sort of atmosphere to the songs, and I thought, this is really interesting to do that. So I kept in touch with them and with Siobhan na Gcrífa, who is, along with Will, her husband, the main movers behind it. And she sent me a couple of pieces of music she'd written that were integrated, called Ar Tlán. And there was a melody in the middle that just kept coming back to me and coming back to me. So I rang her and I said, would you mind if I nicked that melody out of the middle and tried to put lyrics to it? So she said, go ahead. So I did, and I called it Peace Upon This Land, because of everything that was happening with COVID and with everywhere else. And she liked it, and then decided to record it with Emer and Gavin as a duet. So I believe it's going to be the single from the album, and I've heard an early mix of it, and it's absolutely gorgeous.
What was it like? Did you sing together in the studio?
Yeah, we were in Wimmera Lane.
Lovely.
Now, we were in, obviously, separate vocal booths.
Sure.
Yeah, because Gavin would knock you over if you're upset.
Well, he would. Even speaking, you have to move well back.
Oh, he has magnificent voice.
Doesn't he?
Oh, my
Doesn't
God.
He?
Magnificent. Yeah.
We wound him up when he was in. We always refer to him as the transitioned tenor.
Right.
Because in the baritone and all the rest of it. But anyway, he's quite the talent.
Yes.
You must be excited about this.
Oh, obviously. Very excited.
When will we have it?
So, next month, as far as I know. I don't have the date, as I say. We're just finalising the dates for the release before we bring everything together. And so hopefully that'll be the first song to come from the collection.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. And then we'll be back, hopefully, touring this music then.
Touring this music, which is lovely. I'm going to play it. You see the way... I'm not going to play that because I don't have it. I'm Cruach an na Báiste. Why wouldn't I play it? The man in front of me, you can't let him down. Sometimes we try and get away with it, but we never get away with it. And they give you the look. Here it is, because I want to... I'm trying to get a few. I'm trying to get a few in. That's what I'm trying to do.
Smith story in a lee. Smith crawl.
That is Brendan Graham's favourite. I dare not play it when he comes near me.
Good, I'm glad I have you in this position for a change.
The beautiful voice of Ian McQueen, the two of them with me today. I just saw your the cover of your album. It's beautiful.
Yes, Breath Upon the Flame. Yeah, that's the one that we're all working on together. All roads keep converging back.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Breath Upon the Flame.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. You have, Brendan, Daniel O'Donnell album.
I have a song on Daniel's new album called Always There, which he does a beautiful job of.
Gorgeous.
Very different to the original recording with Russell Watson and Secret Garden. More intimate and warm.
Right. I love Russell Watson's voice as well, though. It's an incredible voice. And there's also a TV documentary that you're... Because, as I said at the introduction, you don't like to get too busy. What are you doing? This it's a Basque country.
Yeah, well, I should also mention that at Christmas, I've been working with Roisin O'Reilly.
Right.
And she has a Christmas EP coming out with... three of my songs on it, Hush Be Still, which last year RT made the tune of the week, and Mary's Lament, and When Will My Heart Arise. So that'll be out. Actually, we'll be working on that next week.
Mother of God.
The Basque documentary is really interesting. It's about a woman called Elbira, who fought the whole post-colonial thing of Spain and France to keep the Basque culture alive. And she set up these Ikastolas, the Basque cultural schools. So there's a one-hour TV documentary which has been made, and they've used two of my songs which have been translated into the Euskera, the Basque language. One of them is Isle of Hope, Isle of Tears, which is now called Bizirik Gaudalaco, and it's about reminding people to carry the flame of the culture and protect it. And the other song is a song called Mazularia. And the Basque harpist and musician, Olat Sugasti, did the Basque lyrics. So that was something out of the blue, just happened. I think it's finished. I've seen the trailer. I don't understand a word of it, but you will.
If it's all going so well, and then whipped. Oh, that's so funny. But I love your enthusiasm for all these things you do. constantly busy, always at something, always at something, which is the best way to be, I think.
It's great, and I'm working with fantastic people all the time.
But exactly, I'm forging friendships as you go.
And there's no ageism in the creative world.
So, correct.
You know.
Correct, no should there be.
Most of the time I'm working with people 40, 50 years younger than me, and maybe even more.
Yeah.
There's only a few old codgers like myself and John Sheehan still around.
Yes, but you have garnered a certain amount of respect, sir, over the years, in fairness, and you've earned it, so.
Well, there's nobody would ever shy away from the experience of being able to be mentored by what you've been through and what you've learned and your work ethic, Brendan. You know, we all, any of us who works with you, is so inspired by how you can bring, you know, such drive and such a positive work ethic to the creative process, because, you know, very often when you're working on something creative, you can shoot yourself in the foot with a lack of self-belief, and it's not good enough, And Brendan has this thing of you just turn up every day and you just do it anyway. Well,
absolutely, and you deliver. And you deliver.
Yeah.
As you both did when it came to The Watchmen and the impact it had on our listeners. Incredible, the amount of people who just couldn't get over what it meant to them, what it said to them during COVID. So on both of you, just to say thank you to both of you, because so many people connected with that song above all others during COVID.
Well, you brought it to people.
You did.
Well,
you're still bringing it.
I am merely.
Well, that has to be said.
Conjured.
But also, that song was never destined to be released during a pandemic, and it just happened to fall that way. And it was meaningful. You know, and sometimes these things happen.
The way it impacts on people.
Yeah.
Isn't it wonderful when a song like that can, when your voice does it and you're writing, that it has that impact on people and makes such a difference. We've a long day ahead. Will you be having a lie down during the day at all?
No, we're going straight back to work. That's the truth.
Just the truth, yeah.
We'll see you tonight.
As soon as you stop talking, let us out of here.
All right, go then, leave me. I'll see you tonight.
Can't
Eimear,
wait
thank
to
you.
See you,
you too. I look forward to hearing you tonight.
Fun.
Thanks, Mark.
And thanks, Brendan.
And everybody for coming along as well. We can't wait to see all them too. We're going to have great fun.
Believe it or not, I'm playing The Watchmen. Talk to you.
Ever the seas shore.